Good morning, Booker Till. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning Safer. Tanya, I want to thank our generous sponsors, Marilyn and Michael Fedak, for the generosity sponsoring this class and so much more. Please help yourself to coffee, slushies, pastries, or more in our Reb Shaya corner. We are on the 10th parak of Tanya, and we've been learning about now taking a deeper dive into how Tanya began in understanding the difference between the tzaddik, the complete tzaddik, and the incomplete tzaddik, the tzaddik v'tovlo and the tzaddik v'ralo. As we began the Sefer by talking about the difference between Tzaddik, the Rasha, two types of Tzaddikim, two types of Rishoyim, and the Beinoni, Halavai, Beinoni, we aspire to be a Beinoni. The Tzaddikim and the Beinoni, all externally on the outside, are doing the right thing, behaving the right way, making the right choices. It's the internal conversation, struggle, identity that's the difference between them. So this, the 10th parak, began unpacking exactly this, the incomplete Tzaddik. Now, the incomplete tzaddik is the person that we look at, and we would look at with unbelievable, incredible, endless, and boundless admiration. We would look at what the Tanya calls the tzaddik who's not gamur, the incomplete tzaddik, and we would look at this tzaddik and say, wow, makes all the right choices, does all the right things, never gives in to impulse, never indulges temptation, does everything right. That looks to us like an outstanding, righteous tzaddik, and yet the Tanya calls him a tzaddik who's incomplete. And why is this tzaddik incomplete? Because though the tzaddik makes the right decisions in the end, in the outcome, in the result, internally, still, there's some shemetz. There's still a little presence of, a little residue of understanding the capacity to use the material or the physical for ego rather than elokus. As the Tanya has been developing, our lives are this battle, this internal struggle. What in the last parak he described as the war over territory. The guf and the neshama, the soul and the body, are fighting. Who's in charge, who's in control, who's the ruler, and whose rules? Who owns the territory? We have the animal soul, the nefesh bahami, that wants us to just indulge, impulse, appetite, do what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want, why you want. But then we have a chelek alakom yimol mamash, we're a godly soul, discipline, self-control, sovereignty over ourselves. So the goal is to live a life of elokus, not ego. That our eating and our sleeping, all of our actions and behavior, there is no such thing, said the Tanya, as Roshus. There is no middle category. There is no parav. There is no neutral. Everything is either a mitzvah, it's either serving Hashem, we're advancing His will, His mission here on earth, or we're giving Him a dira b'tachtonim, or we're feeding ego, or we're feeding the klipa, the sitra achra, the dark side. There is no neutral. There's nothing in between. Even sleeping and eating, even what seems to be mundane activities, they can go in one direction or the other. So therefore, the Tanya has encouraged us to live our lives with the mindfulness that everything we do and everywhere we go and everything we say and every choice we make should all be advancing the presence of Hashem here on earth and trying to advance our personal mission, our purpose, answering our why. The tzaddik makes all the right decisions. Tzaddik eats only kosher food and makes a bracha before and after and davens with kavanah and gives tzedakah and steigs and learns Torah and doesn't speak Lashon Hara. Tzaddik does everything right, but still, while the tzaddik is eating and the tzaddik's experience of eating is that the food is only a connection of chiyas of elokus, but the tzaddik sees the other person eating or sees that food and says, I still understand, I still remember, I can still identify a little bit with the idea that food is just tam delicious, that I just want to fress. That I just want to stuff my face, that I just like to eat for a sense of ego. He doesn't, or she doesn't. They make the right decisions, but they could still remember. And then the Tanya said, the second defining aspect of the tzaddik who's incomplete is that they're not bothered enough by the presence of Ra. Oveh Hashem, sinu Ra. If you really love God and you really are living Elokus, then you are repulsed by, you are allergic to, you have an intolerance towards that which is klipa. You see sitra achra, you see ego, you see people who are using and engaging and encountering this world in the wrong way, and a person is just so bothered by that, they're repulsed by it. They're allergic to it. They can't connect to it. And this tzaddik who's incomplete on the outside again is making all the right decisions, they're not bothered enough. Which brings us up to section two. Ach, amayla tzaddik gamur hu sha'amar Reb Shimon bar Yochai, reisi b'nei aliyah v'heim mu'atim. Gemara tells us that Reb Shimon bar Yochai with his son emerged from the cave, and Reb Shimon bar Yochai says to his son, you know, I've seen the Bnei Aliyah. I've seen the people who are living lives of ambition and aspiration. I see the people who are living elokus and not ego. I've seen the people who are living at this lofty, high state. And mu'atim, they're very few. In fact, if there are any, it's you and I. It's me and you. It's you and I. Shalachay nikroin b'nei aliyah. Which is why the complete tzaddikim are referred to as b'nei aliyah. Shemahapchem ha'ra'u malam osom l'kedusha. They transform the evil urge of their animal soul. They take the appetite of the animal soul. But instead of allowing the appetite to be towards material, physical, they transform that appetite and elevate it to holiness. As again, another chiddush of the Baal HaTanya has been that we have this animal impulse, this animal instinct, this animal inside us, and we're not coming or seeking to slaughter or purge or destroy or eliminate the animal. What are we trying to do with the animal? You could even have a pit bull. You could have whatever animal. But the goal is not to destroy or eliminate the animal. What's the goal? Train the animal. When you train the animal serves you. You train a pit bull, it becomes your guard dog. You train an ox, and it can plow your field. You train a horse, and it can pull your carriage. You train the animal. You're not trying to slaughter the animal. You're trying to train the animal to act on your behalf. So here, this animal inside us that has this appetite, instead of it being an appetite towards material, physical, or ego, we take that appetite, even an appetite towards the physical, but we have it be an appetite to transform the physical, an appetite to use the physical as a means and a conduit, an instrument and a vehicle towards the spiritual. To demonstrate that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai viewed the B'nai Aliyah, this elite class of tzaddikim, they were tzaddikim gemurim, Tanya quotes Zohar, Kedisa b'Zohar b'Akdama, Shekesheratza Rabbi Chiyah Lalos Lahichal Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, when Rabbi Chiyah wanted to ascend and go to the heavenly chamber, wanted to go have access to the great Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Shamakala Nafik V'Omer, Mana Minachon Dichashucha Mehapchan Lenora V'Tamen Merirul Miska Adla Yeson Hacha. He who's heard a voice break out and say, who among you has transformed darkness into light and bitter flavors into sweet ones before arriving here? In other words, Rav Shimon, who by his own testimony was one of the B'nai Aliyah, that's what the Gemara in Sukkah said. He says about he and his son, Rabbi Elazar, if there are only two, it's he and his son, required others who wish to enter his arena, who wanted to have access to him in his heavenly space, to be of the same stature. And what's the same stature? What does the Zohar tell us? Darkness to light, bitter to sweet. Before you can come here, you have to take klipa, the nefesh bami, and turn it into the chelek eloka. You have to be able to transform and train the animal and elevate it and lift it and make it altogether different. That's the cost of entry. That's what it takes to have access. That's what it means to be B'nai Aliyah. It's what it means to be a tzaddik gamur. So again, an incomplete tzaddik is a tzaddik, but virala, there's still ra to him. There's not ra to him in his behavior, actions, thoughts, or speech, in the levush, in the garments of the soul. There's no ra externally, but the ra is bo. Tzaddik vira lo, the ra is low. There's still ra. He can still see food and understand that there are people who eat it b'derech klipa. Other way of understanding it, the Baal HaTanya says, was tzaddik v'ra is low. The ra, though, low. He owns it. He's in charge of it. He's in control of it. He's making the right decisions about it in the end. This tzaddik gamur is a tzaddik v'tovlo. This is a tzaddik who lives and looks and sees the world, only makes the right decisions, and doesn't even see or understand or comprehend, is not even tempted by the wrong decision. Doesn't even understand it. We know people like that. We're usually annoyed by them. They're like annoying. They just eat the right foods in the right amounts at the right times. They get the perfect amount of sleep and they never procrastinate. They're not lazy. They don't sleep in. They don't press snooze. You know those people? They're really annoying. They're really annoying. While we struggle, while we bait on him, and worse, struggle with not staying up, go to sleep, stop procrastinating, you need enough sleep, wake up, don't snooze, stop eating, eat the right foods, the right time. Why are you still, they don't even understand it. Like, why would I eat if I'm full? Why would I eat something unhealthy? Why would I eat the wrong time? They don't even understand it. The tzaddik v'tov lo, tzaddik and the whole world is tov lo. Food is just, I don't live to eat, I eat to live. And I don't even understand. The tzaddik v'ralo understands the temptation to live to eat, even though they eat to live. The tzaddik v'tovlo says, I don't even chap. I don't even understand. Like, what do you mean? Food is just fuel. Like, same way you put gas in your car so you could drive, but There's no emotional attachment or connection. You don't crave it or have an appetite for it. You just need to. When the tank is heading to empty, you got to fill it with gas. So when your tank is heading to empty, you got to fill it with food. But other than that, what do you mean? What else is there about food? That's the tzaddik v'tovlo, that level. That level. Vod nikron b'nei aliyah. And moreover, they're called b'nei aliyah. Oh, finally. B'nei shagam avodasa b'b'chinas v'asei tov b'kiyim ha-torah. U'mitzvoseh hilatzorach gavoa. They're also called the complete tzaddik because in addition to the transformation, in addition to training the animal to serve a lakus, not ego, even their positive activities of Torah and mitzvah observance are devoted only to Hashem. Now that might sound bizarre. The tzaddik who's less than perfect, incomplete, their Torah and mitzvah observance is not directed to, then to whom is it directed? What else is there if it's not directed to Hashem? U'mayla mayla aruma alos v'lo kedei l'davka bo yizborch bavad. L'ravos simon nafsha matzmei al Hashem. V'shkosav hoi kol tzom alachu l'mayim. Pasuk in Yeshaya. All are thirsty, go to water. It means, if you're not a perfect tzaddik, it's even possible to be doing Torah and mitzvos and going through motions. It's possible to be doing Torah and mitzvos, but be doing them absent-minded, be doing them mindlessly, be doing it also because it feels good for you. Because it feels good for you. Why do you do the Torah and mitzvos? Because it's the right thing to do, and now you feel good. You did the right thing. Or, it feels good to fabreng, make a l'chaim to Hashem, and even though it's lifting your neshama feels awake and aroused and on fire, that l'maisa feels good. That feels good. Now, that's a positive, that's an authentic feeling good. That's an authentic feeling good. But it's still a feeling good that's impacting internally you, and it's not altruistic or benevolent or entirely all about Hashem. So a second defining quality of the complete tzaddik, which distinguishes him, is the unusual elevated quality, authentic quality, presence, purpose, focus, even of the service of Hashem. For most people, when we have a great tish fabringim, we do a great mitzvah, we learn, we go to a geshmak shir, so it feels really good. I'm awake, I'm on fire, it's changing me, I love it, I'm on fire. That's still us. The worship of the complete tzaddik, the Tikkun HaZohar says, who is a pure chassid, ezu chassid, hamischased im kono, is the person who's mischased, which is hitpael, reflexive, transforms themselves with their creator. It's all about the other. It's all about the other. You could wake up in the middle of the night to take care of a crying baby, and you could do it because you say, I get nothing out of this, I hate this, I'm miserable about this, I would give anything not to do this, but I don't want that baby to cry. Or you could say, when I do it, I feel like a good parent. I don't like it. I don't like my sleep being interrupted. But when I do it, I feel I'm a good parent. I'm a good parent, taking care. Even the mitzvahs and the service of Hashem can be, oh, thank you. Even the mitzvah and the service of Hashem can be, I'm doing it because it makes me feel good, or I'm doing it because I'm doing it for and towards Hashem. So the complete tzaddik, everything, the way they interact with the mundane world, giveth and taketh. The way they act with the mundane world and the way they act in their spiritual world with Hashem is all about Hashem, not themselves. We'll finish up with this. So, im kav delay. In explaining this, kan delay. The Tikkun HaZohar uses the term kono, the word kono, hamischased im kono. Who is a chased im kono? What's kono? Creator. It's not actually, kono is not a creator. What's a kinyan? Kono is the one who owns him. The creator is the one who owns you, but kono is like kinyan. Kinyan. Kono is the one who owns you, who's acquired you, the one who owns you. So now the Baal HaTanya, based on the Tikkun HaZohar, has a play on words. Kono is also from the word kan. What is kan? Shiluach ha-kan. Kain ha-kan. What's a kan? A nest. You send the mother bird away from the nest. So the Tikkun HaZohar says that the chassid is the one who acts kindly with his nest, which is the Shechina. Hashem's nest is the Shechina, the presence on earth, because that's what the point of life is. We're going to get into tomorrow night, Mirtz Hashem. We got a great shiur. Really excited about it. Our theme for Shavuos is America 250. All the shiurim and drushas are around the topic America 250. So I'm giving a shiur about America. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, there's a Mesorah that came from many. Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, there's 10 stops in Golos. Chaim Volozhiner had a tradition going back hundreds of years. America will be the last stop in Golos before Mashiach. There's something exceptional about America, and America will be the last stop. Why does Hashem send us 10 places? So there's a sikha of the Rebbe that talks about, he was talking about France, but it's relevant to America, about why Hashem sends us all over. We collect the gerim, we go to other countries to collect the converts. And Chassidus says not just to collect the converts, but the sparks. We go to those places to find the unique sparks of those places and to transform them for the good, which is, I think, what the Tanya is talking about here. It means we're not just in America, you know, to live the American dream. We're in America because there's work to be done. And are we doing it? Has it been done? That's what we'll talk about tomorrow night. But here the Tanya is talking about, our mission, our purpose here on earth is to unite Shekhinah with this world, to be this nest, to let Hashem come and dwell in his nest, which is this world, to invite him to make a space, to be a vehicle, a vessel, a kli. In heaven, the glory of Hashem's presence shines brightly, but here on earth, it's blocked, it's eclipsed, it's hard to see. So our good deeds are to draw it down and give everyone visibility, to clean the lens and let people see Hashem's presence here on earth, to be that nest. Hameschased im kono means kan, make a nest for Shekhinah here on earth, live a life that people see you and talk to you and interact with you, and they want a piece of what you have and how you live. K'mosh kos b'rayim hemna, parshas kiseitze. Kavra d'ishtadol basa avoy v'imei d'racham lon yater migarme v'nafshe v'ruchi v'nishmosei. Like a son who exerts himself for a father and mother, who he loves more than himself, more than his own nefesh, ruach, and neshama, and everything of his own is considers worthless only to fulfill the will of his mother and father. And he's prepared to die for them. He's prepared to die. So this tzaddik gamur, doesn't even see, doesn't even feel, isn't even tempted by whatsoever ra. He's tzaddik, but only v'tov lo. He's trained the animal. And his appetite is only for elokus, is only for godliness. And he sees the world as a place that he's creating a nest for Shekhinah, a nest for Hashem to come and to dwell. And so when others are fressing and stuffing their face with food, they see the way he eats and they say, wow, God is in the food. God is in the sleep. God is in the talk. God is in the clothing. God is in the business. God is in everything that they do. It's a dira b'tachtonim. That brings us to the end of the second section of Perek Yud. Pick up Mirtz Hashem next week. Looking forward. Everyone should have a meaningful and a beautiful Kabbalah Satayra, a Pnimius, a real Kabbalah Satayra, and be transformed. We shouldn't even recognize each other the next time we get together to learn, because we had such an impactful Shavuos. Have a good Yontif.